This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a swinging Yuletide celebration, conversation with a local entrepreneur who is being honored nationally for a cause close to her heart, or a visit with the new executive director of Prospect New Orleans. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. Are you ready for a jazzy Yuletide? Well, the Ellis Marcellus Ensemble, Lula Elzey New Orleans Dance Theater, and the Ellis Marcellus Center for Music Orchestra, conducted by Jesse McBride, will join together to put some pep in your step as the renowned jazz pianist plays his favorite Christmas songs, followed by the Nutcracker Swing, Duke Ellington and Billy Strayhorn's saucy interpretation of Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker Suite, performed by the award-winning Lula Elzey New Orleans Dance Troupe. Lula and Ellis, welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ellis, you're opening the show. Tell me, what can we look forward to?
Well, I've been working with a quartet of musicians for a good many years. And this time of the year, we always have in our repertoire a series of Christmas songs. So when I talked to Lula earlier about putting on the Nutcracker Swing, we modified what had been a recitation of Twas the Night Before Christmas. So instead of doing that, I'm going to have my quartet performing Christmas music in the first half of the program.
What are some of your favorite Christmas songs?
Well, there are two types of Christmas songs for me. Those which can be adapted as instrumentals, and others which are best performed as vocals. Familiar melodies like Silent Night has words which are more than appropriate. And there are also some which have a very strong religious overtone, which doesn't always lend itself to instrumental interpretation. So with me, it just depends upon the situation, and the situation that we are in this time with the Nutcracker Swing, we play music that lends itself to the element of swing.
And can you give us an example maybe of what we might be swinging to?
Things like Winter Wonderland, which the group plays, the theme from Charlie Brown's Christmas, and O Tannenbaum, which later became O Christmas Tree.
Yeah. Now, Ellis is setting the tone for the Nutcracker Swing. Lula, tell me about this work. This was something that Duke Ellington and Billy Strayhorn collaborated on back in the 1960s.
Yes, and it's so great to do all of those songs. And also, for the past few years, a lot of people are getting more and more familiar with this arrangement of Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker Suite. So you're starting to hear it more and more.
So tell me about this work, how it came about, and how you came to produce it.
This work came about a few years ago. We won't mention how many years. but we've done it on and off in the city, I would say, for over 10 years. We stopped for the last, I would say, 3 years. So I was talking to Ellis this time. We decided to bring it all back and to try to get Jesse McBride to be the music director and getting other musicians around the city. And all of this is going under the Ellis Marcellus Center for Music Orchestra. So it's a new idea that's coming into play.
So tell us, what can we look forward to?
Wonderful arrangement, great dancers. We're going to do dances that we take back all the way to the 1930s. So there will be modern dance in its contemporary form, but also jazz dancing, and a little jitterbug and swing dancing is also a part of the show.
Will there be any tap in the performance?
Not this time. I know a lot of people always look for that element of tap, but We're going to think about it. And if so, it will be a surprise.
So let's talk about some of the pieces and the jazz riffs that spice them up. What's likely to catch our ear?
I would say Ellington's arrangement of the Sugar Plum Fairy, which he titles the Sugar Rum Cherry, and also the Arabian number, which is called the Arabesque Cooking. So that's fun.
I agree, just the whole concept. And I think that Ellington's Nutcracker should be performed every year. Ellington was very, very conscious of the culture out of which he came. And he would compose music from the furthest extremes of whether it's blues or whether it's some of the works like Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker to express his culture and to show what can be done.
Now, Lula, can you tell us how you have reworked the ballet to complement this jazzy performance?
Yes. We work everything by it not being traditional. So it's not Clara and the Christmas party and then the dream comes to life. All of this is about presenting the music. So for us, the music is there and it happened to be dance, or the dance is there and it happened to be music behind it. So all of these are individual pieces. So there's no storyline, but they're independent of each number in the suite.
And you are taking us back to the 1930s and 40s.
Yes. We're 30s, 40s, and we're trying to bring a few things a little present day, but, you know, the music lends itself to the time period.
And will you be dancing?
Yes, I will be. Or as my mother says, she's still running around, turning and jumping. I say, yes, it's a new turnaround, jump and turn.
What will make this a memorable experience for audiences?
Well, that's kind of a two-way street. That which is memorable is largely going to be contingent upon what the audience brings to it. If they've never heard it before, and there's a certain amount of curiosity about it, which is why it's important that we do it every year. So consequently, those things that they missed the first time around, and we always miss some things. You know, when you go to a movie and only see it once, or read a book and only read it once, it's memorable primarily because of what members of the audience bring to that experience.
And it also become memorable if you know the classical arrangement of these songs. So once you hear the jazz arrangement, you start to guess. I know a lot of people would put away their program and try to see if they could actually hear the melodies and the song itself. And with this arrangement, you can. It brings out a big surprise to go, wow, you know, I can't believe somebody was able to hear that in that music. So it's fun. We're excited.
Ellis Marcellus and Lula Elzey, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Thank you for inviting us.
The Lula Elzey New Orleans Dance Theater presents the Nutcracker Swing with an opening performance by renowned jazz pianist Ellis Marcellus, performing Christmas favorites. It takes place at Loyola University's Roussel Hall, 6363 St. Charles Avenue, with performances on Saturday at 8 p.m. and Sunday at 3. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. My next guest is a remarkable woman, a New Orleans tourism professional, founder of the nonprofit Festigals, a festival that celebrates and empowers women, promotes our city's rich culture, and has a mission to stamp out breast cancer with its bodacious collectible art bras. She's Diane Lyons, a 2013 New Orleans Magazine Top Female Achiever, and now tapped for the National Handcraft Heroes Award. Diane Lyons, welcome to the program.
I am so honored to be here today.
And congratulations on your awards.
Thank you. I'm also extremely humbled.
Now, you are one of three women from across the country that were singled out for the inaugural Handcraft Heroes Awards.
I was shocked and amazed that I was chosen for this because, to me, what I've done with the Bodacious Bras and with Festigals is really about just giving back to this marvelous city. And I've had the pleasure of the last 22 years of being able to showcase New Orleans and its unique, special things, music, culture, food, architecture. And Festigals was about bringing women together to celebrate what we love about New Orleans.
So tell me more about the award, which honors ordinary people doing extraordinary things. This is an award crafted by a California winemaker. What's the connection?
Handcraft Wines gives a percentage of their sales for the wines to breast cancer, and they work with the Susan G. Komen Foundation. Dr. Sherry Phillips is their representative, who also is a representative for Susan G. Komen's 60-mile walks. And I've actually met her because I did the 60-mile walk 2 years ago in San Diego, and she is an amazing little feisty woman. And so I'm going to get to actually meet and be with her in February when they bring myself and the two other award winners to California, to the vineyard, for a weekend celebration where we'll get to talk about breast cancer, why we got involved with helping women, what our passions are. The other award winner is Melanie Young, who I actually know. She came to New Orleans last summer and I met her, and she has a book about being fearless and fabulous with breast cancer. There's also a woman named Stacey Cumberbach who created pink gowns for young women who have had breast cancer to have beautiful clothes to wear. So it's amazing to be in the honor of being with these two women.
So tell us your story.
I have a company called Accent on Arrangements, and we plan, produce, execute events for corporations and associations. And I've been in tourism a long time, and I'm passionate about our city. So as I worked with meeting planners for the last 25 years, I would hear them say, wow, I didn't know New Orleans was this. I didn't know that New Orleans had that. As we show them different parts of the city as they come to plan a meeting, well, when that began to happen, I would say, well, why don't you come back sometime? Well, I'll get back. I'm going to bring my mother when I come. I'm going to bring my sister when I come. I want them to see this wonderful city. And I would say, okay, well, great. Let me know, and I'll hook you up with the great things to do. And then about 4 years ago, I thought, well, why don't I just create something? We have oyster festivals. We have tomato festivals. We have men festivals for gay men and golf tournaments, but we have nothing in New Orleans that celebrates women and celebrates who we are and why we choose to be here, that insider's view. So Festigals came about. The first year, we had about 100 women that participated, and that was begging everybody I knew. Soledad O'Brien was kind enough to come and work with us on that first year, and we had a wonderful weekend of empowering seminars and passionate women, women that do extraordinary things, and we shared that experience, networked, and then we had a little fun along the way. So that was in 2011. In 2012, we began to think about, as women, we want to give back. We want to have fun, but we're always working for others. In our daily lives, we're supporting our families, our children, our husbands, our dogs. And so we want to give back. So what could help us to give back? Well, I've seen the Bras for a Cause in other cities, but, you know, New Orleans isn't an ordinary city. So I thought Bodacious Bras would be a lot more fun. So we got in touch with lots of artists and great chefs, but mainly artists, and asked them to take a bra that was donated and decorate it. And then we would auction it off and raise money for CAGNO, Cancer Association of Greater New Orleans. So that's what we did. The first year we had 25 fantastic, amazing artworks. Michelopagus, James Vella. They were unbelievably beautiful. And they sold for like almost $20,000. And we gave 100% of that money to the Cancer Association Greater New Orleans. My sister died in 2008 of breast cancer, a very strange type of breast cancer called inflammatory breast, which is extremely fast moving. So really it was all about giving back to every woman I know. You know, one in eight has breast cancer. And the Bodacious Bras became more of, let's give back to something local.
Now, the Handcraft Heroes Award applauds your fundraising efforts. How much have you raised so far in the fight against breast cancer? And what is your secret to success?
We've raised $42,000 in the 2 years that we've done it, based on the fact that people love the bras, they love the artwork, and they love the cause. But I guess the secret for me is persistence, passion, and dedication to making it happen. I am relentless when it comes to that. And you know, this year, Diane, I can't tell you, everywhere I go, men, women, artists from throughout the region come up to me and say, wait, you're that bra woman. We want to do a bra this year. I've got this killer idea. So it's really fun. It's growing. So exciting. Last year, Better Than Ezra did this incredible bra that had propellers out front and fans back in the back. It was crazy. And it sold actually twice. And one woman bought it for her office, and another woman bought it for her summer home to put on a porch because she just thought it was the most beautiful piece of art. They are, last year we had one that blinked and had martini cups on it. It's all about the cups. Inspirational, fun, exciting, empowering, and all about New Orleans and arts and culture. Festigals is all about me being humbled in our city that we love so much, having the honor of working with amazing people, helping us to raise money for a good cause.
Diane Lyons, founder of Festigals, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Diane.
Voices of the Arts is a partnership with NOLA V and WWNO, featuring eight new leaders of the city's foremost cultural organizations. New Orleans arts institutions have perhaps never gone through this kind of major change all at once. We're hearing from these new executives on what they bring to New Orleans, how they are embracing our culture, and their plans for the future. Today we hear from the woman at the helm of Prospect New Orleans.
My name is Brooke Davis Anderson, and I'm the executive director of Prospect New Orleans. I've been in that position for about 8 months. So I've lived in many places around the country. I'm currently located in New York City. We have our headquarters here in New Orleans, courtesy of the Arts Council of New Orleans. We have staff in New Orleans, New York, and Los Angeles, and we have board members in New York and New Orleans. And the thinking behind that is that it affords us an opportunity as a nonprofit organization to have constant contact with benefactors, funders, artists, and supporters in many different ways for the implementation of Prospect 3. You know, I am very concerned about audiences and very concerned about audiences in art. And while I am looking forward to having the international art community descend upon New Orleans next fall for Prospect 3, it's also really important to me that we offer something up to New Orleanians. And I think in the very beginning, the organization named itself U.S. Biennial with the notion that perhaps a biennial could move from one American city to another, always being international. But I will say that the verve and the energy and the passion of the board of directors to have this be located and specifically live within the New Orleans landscape has taken over any discussion about being nomadic. Staying here is really our future. And part of the idea of Prospect New Orleans is that fundraising would happen not only in New Orleans, but beyond the boundaries of Louisiana, so that we could bring funders to this city and support a really large, great art program here. I have only found people to want to figure out how to make this successful. Every meeting I go into, it seems, their question keeps coming up. Who do we want to become? How would we imagine getting there? That may have to do with the fact that there are a handful of new people in leadership positions in the arts. I'm not yet equipped to explain why this might be, but I can assure you that those conversations aren't as passionate in, say, New York. It's interesting to me to hear from longstanding citizens that New Orleans perhaps has a reputation of not being the most welcoming place for outsiders and outliers and people who are new to the community. I have found that there is a very generous welcome that we have received as an organization. I wonder if New Orleans becomes international with all of this influx of people like myself who are investing in the city in a unique way. And I think that would be a really interesting conversation to continue, that you can feel New Orleanian, you can work for New Orleans and come and go.
You can find out more about Brooke Anderson's plans for Prospect New Orleans at wwno.org or nolav.com. And we have something extra in our Lanyap Corner. Cyril Neville is celebrating the release of his latest album, Magic Honey, a Roots musical gumbo, Friday, 10 p.m. at Blue Nile, 532 Frenchman Street. And the historic New Orleans collection is participating in Creole Christmas, presented by Friends of the Cabildo, on Friday, December 27th and Saturday, December 28th. The event invites locals and visitors alike to take a festive stroll through the French Quarter to visit five historical houses outfitted with traditional Christmas decorations. Participants may also enjoy Creole Christmas stories. The historic New Orleans collection's Williams Residence, the 1850 House, Beauregard Keys House, Spring Fiesta House, and Gallier House will all be featured. The self-guided tours of all the historical homes begin at the 1850s house at 523 St. Ann Street. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.